Welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. This show is all about empowering couples with the knowledge they need to get pregnant, stay pregnant, and have the healthiest baby possible. I'm Kristen Cornett, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner and owner of an online fertility practice called Tiny Feet. I work with women and couples all over the world to optimize their health and fertility so they can build the families they've always dreamed of. You can learn more about me on my website at tinyfeet.co. Thanks so much for tuning in with me today. Before we get started, I just want to share a couple of awesome free resources that can help you move forward on your journey. First is the free Are You Healthy Enough to Get Pregnant quiz that will ask you about symptoms in five areas of health that are foundational to fertility and provide you with some practical tips on how to get started addressing each area. Next is the free mini course on how to choose the best prenatal supplements, which walks you through the specific nutrients you need to support your fertility and a healthy pregnancy, and how to find high-quality supplements to meet your needs. And lastly, if you're wanting more individualized advice for where to go next on your journey, or you're thinking that you'd like to work with someone one-on-one, you can go ahead and schedule a free 20-minute phone consult with me. You can find links to all three of these resources through the link in this week's episode description. You're listening to episode 82, and today I'm going to be interviewing acupuncturist and certified hypnotherapist Michelle Orovitz about using hypnotherapy to shift our thoughts, beliefs, and overall mindset to support fertility. While hypnosis might sound a little out there to some of you, there's actually a strong scientific basis for how and why it works, and it is recognized as a legitimate psychological tool. Because most of our thoughts and behaviors in a given day are governed by our subconscious mind, making lasting changes to how we think, feel, believe, and act on a daily basis really requires us to tap into the subconscious and change what's happening in the brain's autopilot mode. If you've ever struggled with implementing advice such as just think positive thoughts or don't worry so much, then you know that it's a lot easier said than done to change the way you think and feel about certain things. The thoughts and beliefs actually have a huge impact on our physical health, and they can make a big difference to fertility outcomes. If you've been struggling on your journey for a while, chances are you've developed some beliefs and thought patterns about your body or your chances at motherhood that really aren't serving you at this point. So today, Michelle is going to help us explore one of the modalities that can help us make changes in this important and very under-recognized area of health and wellness. So you're going to learn about what hypnotherapy is, how it works, and some of the misconceptions about its use, the specific and measurable changes in brain activity that make hypnotherapy such an effective tool for changing subconscious beliefs, how this benefits fertility, and some of the specific issues or conditions that tend to respond well to this approach, how hypnotherapy integrates with acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and the logistics of what you can expect with hypnotherapy, including how to find someone to work with, online versus in-person sessions, and how many sessions you should plan to have. So let me introduce you to Michelle, and we'll get started on the interview. Michelle Orovitz is an acupuncturist, Ayurvedic practitioner, and certified hypnotherapist specializing in fertility health. Michelle was inspired to change her career from architecture to acupuncture after having her own reproductive imbalances resolved by her acupuncturist. Her method of treatment encompasses not only herbs and acupuncture, but also incorporates diet, supplements, essential oils, and most importantly, the mind and how it influences conception. She helps women and couples both online and in person and is the host of the Wholesome Fertility Podcast. You can find links to Michelle's website, podcast, and social media through the link in this week's episode description. Enjoy the interview. All right, welcome, Michelle Orovitz. Thank you so much for joining me today on Mastering Your Fertility. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your background, and what brought you to acupuncture and Chinese medicine?
So my background actually originally was architecture, and I started out as a patient. I worked in New York City, was very imbalanced, was not working at a job that fulfilled me, had a lot of stress and pressure. It was kind of corporate world, and had also had 3-month cycles. So I wouldn't get my period in 3 months or 2 months, and was completely irregular since I basically got my period. and started at age 13, then went to the gynecologist at age 17, thinking that I'm going to get some kind of cure. Because at the time, I didn't really know how things worked out there, and came home with a pill. And at the time, asked my doctor, like, why are you giving me the pill? I'm not even sexually active. He said, well, it's going to get you regular. That was the first time I ever understood that about the pill, that it actually is used to give a regular period. And then I said, well, is that going to fix it? What happens when I get off? You're going to go back to what you are now. So I realized at that point that I wasn't really getting a solution, but I really didn't have much of an option. So I'm probably expressing something that so many women can relate to. I feel like so many women have been given the pill for those kind of reasons, whether it's pain or something, just to cover up what was going on underlying. And so years later, would go on the pill, off the pill. And whenever I went on the pill, I realized I didn't feel quite myself. I could tell the difference, just little subtleties. And at age 25, I remember going away for 3 months. And the whole time I was away, not having my period, I came home, moved back to New York because I lived in San Francisco for a little bit. Came back to New York and my mom said, oh, well, I heard about this Chinese medicine physician. Why don't we go? And I went, and I remember the same day I went to him, I came home with a bag of herbs because it was like old school where it wasn't pills. It was like actual herbs that you boil. I came home and I got my period that day. And he, ever since then, I would get my period the most 30 days in between. It was like so mind-blowing for me because I've been going for years back and forth to doctor's visits. Nobody can give me a solution. And this was the most amazing thing ever. And I remember him sitting me down the first time telling me with a very strong Chinese accent, he's the sweetest guy. And he said, a woman's period is so important. It is so important that women have normal periods. And I knew that, I mean, but I didn't realize just how right he was and how important it was. And at the time, I wasn't even trying to get pregnant because I was young. I was 25. I wasn't married. I didn't even know my husband at the time. Interestingly enough, I met my husband a couple of months later. And then years later, I look back and I thank Dr. Lee for, first of all, starting this passion of mine to go back to school and study acupuncture because I was so moved. And I realized that what I was doing at the time wasn't really fulfilling me as a person, which I also think, by the way, can affect your health if you're doing the wrong thing.
Yes, I can relate to that 100%.
And so basically, I went back to school. I went first to study Ayurveda, which is an ancient Indian medicine. And then I got pregnant, had kids. So I stopped everything for a little while. And then when my kids were old enough, I went back to school for acupuncture. But yeah, looking back, I realized Dr. Lee helped my fertility. And I thank him for the kids that I have now, because had it not been for that time, I probably would have had a very hard time getting pregnant. And I know that it basically saved me before I even realized I needed to be. So it was kind of like, it ignited a passion of mine, and I was just always drawn to fertility. So eventually graduated, got my degree, started a practice, and then ended up focusing on fertility.
That's an awesome story. And it's so great that you had that experience and, you know, were able to get your cycle back and regulated through acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And it's awesome that you had a man tell you how important it was to cycle as a woman.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is a huge piece of our education when we're girls that we're missing. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember anyone telling me how important or how amazing it was that I had this monthly cycle, that my body could grow a baby, that, you know, I changed every month. And we had these like phases of our cycle that changed how we thought and felt on a monthly basis. And all of that is so cool. And I feel like we just missed out on learning about the wisdom and the mystery of that.
Totally, totally. That's why I love people like Dr. Christian Northrup,
yeah,
because she talks about that. She brought that to light like when nobody talked about it back in the day in the face of conventional medicine where it was like old school. And so I think that takes so much courage, first of all. But yeah, bringing back the wisdom that we've always had. And what's interesting too is I started realizing at the time that I would cycle with the moon. I'd get my period. I guess now I realize it's called a blood mooner.
Yeah.
But I would get my period with the full moon. And I remember noticing it. I'm like, oh my God, every single time I get my period, it's the full moon. Like I started noticing that. And that was the first time I actually started noticing it is when I started to get regular.
Yeah, we just were talking about moon cycles on the podcast a couple weeks ago with Zara Haji.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. And then we had Ayurveda the week before that with Heather Grish, which I think you and I talked about.
I love her too.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, this is super cool. Lots of people doing a lot of amazing things in women's health and really teaching us how to appreciate ourselves as women.
Yeah, totally.
So one of the other things that you do in your practice, which we have not talked about before on the podcast, is hypnotherapy. And I really wanted to discuss this on the podcast. Number one, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. It's not well understood what it is. Like people kind of joke about hypnosis because they have a complete lack of understanding about what it's actually doing and what it's for. So start off by telling us about what hypnotherapy is and how did you first get interested in this?
So I got interested in, so around the same time, actually going back a little bit, when I went to Dr. Lee and I started regulating my cycle, it was interesting because I find that we batch our healing. We start doing a couple of different things and we don't know exactly what helped, but when we get into this place where we decide to heal, I think that we just do everything and we get really inspired. And so sometimes I always joke about it because we don't know what it is that really healed us because we're doing so many things at once. But I know it was Dr. Lee because that was the first step. And what that ignited was me really learning more about myself. And around that time, or a little after, I read a book called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And that really ignited such passion in and understanding and really getting how important the mind is and how our subconscious mind, I mean, when I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, I was nodding my head the whole time. Everything made sense, every single thing. And I remember at times just picking up in my life where there were moments where I felt very magnetic, everything would work out. And then there were times where I felt like nothing I can do made things work. And it was like, and I realized like a lot of times when that happened, my mindset was affecting how people responded to me, how things worked out, how I was at work. And it was like an interesting thing. I'm like, I picked that up, but I still didn't know exactly how do you change that? Like, what do you do to change that? So when I read this book, it was like this big aha. I was like, oh my God, really what you believe, he basically says is that you have this conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And I will relay this back to hypnosis, but it really starts at that because it's the same core concept, is that we have our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. And in Western medicine, we understand also the sympathetic, parasympathetic, you know, things that happen, also autonomic. So something that's controllable and then something that's uncontrollable, that's kind of sitting in the background. And we look at computers, it's interesting because I think we design things the way we're designed subconsciously. And in Chinese medicine, we really see everything reflected as the whole. So basically, there's a bunch of, there is an organization, we see it also with, I forget what it's called, the shell, not the shell, but it's the spiral, basically, that we see in nature. Mm-hmm. And it's the same proportions that continuously show themselves with everything that's designed in nature. So there's this intelligence that kind of runs the show, and it always shows that some of it's conscious, some of it's like downloaded in the background. And our subconscious mind, a lot of times, keeps us in the same patterns. So I started noticing later on, so that really just opened up my mind to that. And for years, I just was very fascinated. And as I started working, because I was already so aware of that, I would notice that some people would heal and do really well. And then some people would heal and do really well. And then they'd get back to what they were. And then it was like this back and forth. And they would love coming in because like after coming in, they'd feel great. And then they pause for a while and go back to their normal pattern, whether it was insomnia or whatever it was. So then they started to get very dependent on me because they were like, I need to come in because it needs to. And I'm like, there's got to be something that's getting them back to or preventing them from moving forward. And I don't want people to depend on me all the time because I want them to finally just heal and get back to balance. So I started realizing that sometimes their language would say, I'm that kind of person, or I just never sleep, or I'm, you know, so I was like, okay, there's like some belief here. So I went back and I studied hypnotherapy. And I thought also it would be really cool to combine it with acupuncture, because when we do certain points, it immediately creates this parasympathetic response where people start to relax and release. And that release is what helps people heal. Ultimately, it gets people into homeostasis because the body's programmed to heal, and it gets us back into that place where we don't fight it anymore. And so I realized, I was like, wow, you know, if you combine the points, and of course there's a point where in between the eyebrows, which is like, I call it the third eye point, and the crown, we also learn about chakras. I have that with Ayurveda to open the person up. And then at that point, utilize that relaxation in order to induce hypnosis. So back to your initial question, I just wanted to give a background.
Oh, that's great.
What hypnosis does is it basically utilizes certain techniques to get people into a state of receptivity where their conscious mind or their guard comes down. And obviously they need to feel very safe. And we have to have a pre-talk and explain exactly what I'm going to be doing. And I don't ever give suggestions unless I get permission. And I talk about that ahead of time so that people feel safe, because you really need to feel safe in order to be hypnotized. Obviously, because when we don't feel safe, we don't fall asleep. We don't relax. There's no, you need to trust in order to sleep, to relax, you know, and it's not so much that I'm putting them to sleep, but it's more getting into the state of relaxation where their guards are down. And what I'm able to say to them creates a suggestion into their subconscious mind. And so we do that. Sometimes I even have conversations with them to try to figure out what is happening that's preventing them. Is there something they need to release? And I do my own, I guess, form of hypnosis where I do sometimes visualizations as well. And I work with them on using visualizations, like certain rocks that have been getting in their way, releasing them, letting them go in a path and blessing it and moving on and that kind of thing. And so, so that's how it works basically. And it really is amazing when you combine it with healing, any kind of healing, because we work in such metaphors as humans. And when our mind accepts the healing, we go so much further and allow the healing to occur. So it's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. I don't think that we give our minds enough credit for how much they really run the show in our body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, particularly with things like immune challenges, which are very common in the fertility community, your brain is really responsible for directing your immune activity to a large degree. And I learned a lot about this initially, which really wasn't that long ago, but I learned mm-hmm. a lot about this initially when I read the book, You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm not sure if you're...
Amazing book.
It was such an amazing incredible. Book. And it really opened my mind to the possibility that, you know, in medicine, the placebo effect is kind of made fun of. It's like a dirty right. word, you know, it's like, oh, here's real medicine. And then here's everything else. Here's this placebo effect. Like people are just imagining that they're better. And it's like, no, you can actually physiologically tell that these people are improving. There mm-hmm. are objective ways to assess that, especially depending on what the problem is. And I was so interested reading Joe Dispenza's book because it was the first time that I really started to understand some of the science behind why that was the case, that the placebo effect and mind-body work and hypnosis, these are not woo-woo concepts. There is a lot of scientific basis for how these things work. And, you know, particularly with a hypnotic state, we can actually see changes in the brain. So can you talk a little mm-hmm. bit about like what actually happens in the brain when we're in a hypnotized state? How does that lead us to be able to make some important changes in like our underlying thoughts and beliefs?
So we get almost into a state that's between waking and sleeping. And what's interesting is sometimes people will mention that they feel almost like they're dreaming, but they're here and they hear me. So it gets us into this deep level state. And I guess theta is the most like a, is like the sleep state. So it gets us into this, like a deeper state of, it's not quite sleep because they're still awake, where their mind, we almost get a portal into their subconscious mind, and we're able to infuse suggestions into that part of their brain. And then what happens is these are like the core beliefs that create our realities, like constantly. What's interesting, and it just does it much faster than if we were to do visualizations. Now, visualizations, we also know, is very powerful, because they did studies on that with athletes that would just simply visualize, not practice, but visualize themselves doing really well, like for shooting hoops. And then other ones, another group that would actually just practice and not visualize. And then the control group that did nothing. And the control group, I think the percentage difference in how the people who visualized versus the people who actually practiced, I think it was like 1% difference in how they did. And I think compared to the control group, it was like, I don't remember, don't quote me, like maybe 20%. It was like definitely a huge improvement from either practicing or visualizing to doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it was like a marked improvement, but it was very similar to just us visualizing that we're doing something. Our bodies get prepared. It's crazy. And that's visualizations. You're not even going into this like subconscious state of relaxation where you're actually able to access the part of the brain that really receives the messages and like keeps them. It's you can get more done in shorter amount of time because you're using something called an induction, which puts people into that state. Now, you had mentioned common myths in the email that you sent.
A lot of
people think it's like mind control, which isn't true. You can actually get up and do whatever you want to do. If something doesn't feel right to you, you can get out of it. You still have your free will. And so that's something that I think a lot of people think we're like in the movies, you know, like you could start barking like a dog and things like that. I mean, I don't do that kind of thing, and it's not really something that I've really seen for the most part, but it's not as, I guess, woo-woo as it seems like in the movies.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really important point. And I actually remember having a discussion recently with my mom about mm-hmm. hypnosis. And we were talking about some things like just underlying beliefs. And she was like, well, how do you change that stuff? And I was like, well, there's a lot of different approaches you could take. And here's this one, and here's this one, and here's hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, that's scary. Like, I knew someone who did that. And then he like got up and divorced his wife the next day. And I was like, well, you don't know what was going on in their relationship.
Right, maybe
that was actually something that needed to happen. But she got this idea in her head that it was really like mind control, that the therapist could force someone to do something that they didn't want to do, or implant an idea in their head that was like inaccurate or dangerous or would upset mm-hmm. their life. And that is not the case. What you're doing here is basically just helping the mind get into a state where we can alter some of that deeply held programming that we have. And a lot of that programming, we develop at really young ages. Like we were talking earlier about understanding and appreciating the wisdom of our bodies as women. That's not something mm-hmm. we're taught how to do. We are programmed to think of our bodies as different than men in a negative way. Mm-hmm. you know, our periods are painful, or they're annoying, or they're embarrassing, like even mm-hmm. things like that, how we're programmed to think about our bodies. Or for somebody like me who struggled with health issues, like, oh, I'm always the sick one. Like, I'm never going to feel better. I guess this is just how I am. Like we start, especially with fertility, we start to develop a lot of these really strong beliefs about our bodies. And I've seen women in my practice who have an unexplained diagnosis. and they want to prepare their bodies for like IUI or IVF. And they're like, okay, so like, what should the timeline be? And it's all they're thinking about is fertility treatment. And I was like, I'm completely supportive of you seeking out fertility treatment, but you're unexplained at this point. There's no reason to think that you can't get pregnant naturally. I just want to make sure that you know that that's still on the table. But I find that there's this like such a deeply held belief that it's not going to happen for me unless I go that route, unless I go the IUI or IVF route. So let's tie this into fertility. Like, what are some of the things that you see in your practice with your patients that really benefit from this type of a therapy?
So actually you touched upon a really good point. When a lot of times, this is something that I see a lot, is that when women go, and I think we talked about this before, when women go to the doctor, you know, they're trained, the reproductive endocrinologist or sometimes the gynecologist, they're trained from a certain type of perspective. And sometimes that perspective does not believe as much in the body's ability to just kind of work itself out.
Yeah.
So therefore, well-meaning and all, they'll say you can't get pregnant unless you do IVF or whatever. And those kind of suggestions, which does, you know, we do get suggestions all the time. So yeah, we can get negative suggestions. I mean, that I do want to say, because we get that growing up, we get that from our own perspectives and beliefs, we do it for ourselves. So, and especially if we see somebody as being an authority figure and we choose to say, okay, I'm coming in and you're an authority and you're going to, whatever you say is like gold, you know, you're the expert. And so I've had a lot of people come in and say, well, I was told that I wasn't going to be able to get pregnant on my own. And those same women got pregnant within like a month or two of getting just regular treatment. And it's not, I don't even want to take credit myself. It's really their bodies getting back into balance. You're changing your environment. You're changing your food. You're changing all the different things that are causing imbalance. You're taking them out. And you know this very well. I mean, it's about taking out what's causing the problem and also bringing in what can strengthen the body so that it actually gets back into balance more easily. So what I work on is really changing this belief, this like set belief. And a lot of times as I speak to my patients, I uncover a lot. Sometimes their moms, they see their mothers like, and their fathers, and the father would have like a very tough relationship with a mother where it was very suppressing, and they would see their mothers as weak because they never got an education and they stayed home and were just a mom. You know, it's interesting. You see these different beliefs that are tied to being a mother, or if there's trauma sometimes, you know, it could be sexual trauma, not as common for me. I haven't seen as much, you know, thank God. But it does happen. And those kind of things do stay in our bodies. And there's shame. You had talked about that, you know, with the body and like shame and you know, what's going to happen to my body. I hear that a lot too. Like, if I become pregnant, am I going to be as attractive to my husband? I mean, these are things, these are subconscious beliefs that people have that get in the way of their bodies just doing their thing. So those are some of the things. Other ones are food, you know, eating the wrong foods or eating to comfort. So there's so, and then some of them I work on sleep. You know, there's people that don't sleep well and I want to help them sleep because that, as we know, is so important for hormones. So it's like this puzzle. And then some of them I even do connection with the husband and wife, you know, being able to really connect physically, because that's so important. I mean, it's really the foundation of baby making.
Right? Yeah, I think it's really important for all of us on this journey, really on any sort of a health challenge type of journey, but especially with fertility, to really examine some of those underlying beliefs that might be holding us back. I just think there is so much power in that. There's so much power in the mind to make positive changes. It's exactly the reason why things like meditation and visualization work so well. Mm-hmm. And having a therapy like this, where you can make similar progress, but do so in a more expedient time frame, I think is really attractive, especially because a lot of the worry about fertility, a lot of the underlying beliefs that we have about fertility center around age and why we have mm-hmm. to like do things right now. And so having an opportunity to tap into that subconscious and start to change some of that programming and be able to do it a little bit faster than we would otherwise be able to do it on our own with meditation and visualization, I think is really cool. And it's something that I really haven't heard talked about that much in the fertility community as even being an option.
Yeah, it's very important. And it's something that is so subtle because we can't really see what our beliefs are. It's not something that we can see or feel or touch. So sometimes it runs so much in the background and we're so distracted by what we see in front of us that we don't realize it's even there. It's crazy. And so that's why meditation is at first so hard, because it starts to shine a light on what's happening beneath the surface. And a lot of times that's very difficult for people to sit through. But I always say it's going to pass. Yeah. It'll get easier with time. It just does. And after a while, you actually start to really enjoy going there.
Right.
And it opens so much.
I can relate to that discomfort. Just like, I don't think I want to sit here with my breath or my thoughts. Like, I'm not sure I really want to examine what's going on when I quiet my mind a little bit. I think definitely for somebody who is very high functioning, very logical, very analytical, it seems like something like hypnotherapy would be really helpful, because those people are going to have a hard time accessing that particular area where we're storing some of those programmed thoughts. It's going to be harder to get into that state to make changes to it. And so having somebody facilitate that, I think, is really helpful.
Oh yeah. This is the core reason why I went, but thank you for those words. I mean, it's true. Like, it's definitely, when you were mentioning about somebody who's high functioning, I'm thinking the person who's very much in the world, the material world, what's happening. I need to respond to this email, that whatever it is that's happening outside, really, and like really focusing on that aspect of reality. And the truth is, reality's has many different faces. There's different parts of reality. Part of it, is what's happening in front of us or outside of us. But a lot of the reality, probably the majority of the reality, is the one that's within that most of the time we don't pay attention to or don't focus on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think very many people think about the lens that they view the world through, and that most of the way that we view things and respond to things and the way that we feel about things are ways that we've already been conditioned or programmed to respond to them. And so we kind of have like specific programs we run for each situation based on our prior experiences, many of which happened long before we really even have conscious memories.
Exactly. And identification, that's a huge one. Is we identify with our past experiences and we think that that's what we are. I mean, I love, I've actually had somebody on who for many years was told that she couldn't get pregnant on her own, had really difficult challenges. And then at 46, after just deciding to really work within, at 46 spontaneously gets pregnant with the right partner. And it was a healthy, beautiful pregnancy, healthy child, everything. It was just, it's amazing. You see these miracles that defy the odds. They defy what they're told. And that is what I believe in. I believe in that, like that kind of hope. I mean, because it's there. It's just that it doesn't happen a lot. And I'll tell you why. Because our reality usually is very dependent on what we believe. And if we believe all the past experiences over the possibilities, then the past experiences are going to continue recurring.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. 100% true. And I think that that really speaks to an issue in the fertility community, not just for like women who might be unexplained, but women who already have a diagnosis. Like, they've been diagnosed years ago with endometriosis or PCOS, and they've been told, or at least had it suggested strongly to them, that they would struggle when it came time to get pregnant. Like, women with PCOS, it's like, oh, well, you're 16 or 17, we're going to diagnose you early before your cycle has really even had a chance to completely normalize or be whatever it's going to be. We're going to put you on the pill super early. And so when you want to get pregnant, just come off the pill and we'll give you fertility drugs. You're not going to be able to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And imagine what that feels like to sit with that underlying belief and not even realizing how it might be conducting things underneath the surface in your body. But to have that underlying belief for such a long time, and then, you know, on the surface, you're like, yeah, I want to be able to do this on my own. But that belief that you developed such a long time ago that was suggested to you by a doctor is kind of keeping you from truly believing that you're capable of doing it on your own.
Totally. Such true words. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to use the word infertility. I rarely say it. I say it when I have to, but I don't really think it's an accurate word. It means you're infertile. And most of the time, it's not really true. Most of the time, they just struggle and they get pregnant eventually, whether it's with help or without, or, you know, but to say infertile to me is somebody who's really genetically unable to, I mean, it's absolutely infertile. And I don't think that you use that label unless that's what it is. And for the most part, the majority, it's not the case.
Yeah, it's not the case. And I see that a lot, especially on social media, because there's a strong fertility struggle community on like Instagram, for instance. I see a lot of people post like, I am infertile. And they'll say things like, which I think is it's important to have these conversations and bring the fact that more and more couples are struggling fertility. Like people that are posting like, I'm 1 in 8. It's like, that's great for solidarity because there are so many people that are struggling. And I think more people need to be aware of the fact that this is becoming a bigger and bigger struggle for more people. But when we say like, I'm infertile, I'm 1 in 8, it kind of becomes an identity. And we keep reinforcing that underlying belief that we're going to struggle. Getting pregnant is hard. My body's broken. Things aren't working properly. And as much as like we can get some of that support and solidarity from the community, we're also reinforcing our beliefs that our bodies aren't correct, that there's something wrong with us.
Totally, totally, totally. I mean, that's exactly it. And it's important to pay attention to is just, what am I telling myself every day? And what do I believe my body is capable of? And just challenge ourselves. I think we can handle that challenge of asking ourselves those questions.
I think we can. I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast episode, is to help women ask more of those questions. What are my underlying beliefs? Are they supporting me? Do I need to think more about this? Do I need to start exploring this and possibly considering some options for making some changes? And, you know, I think I'm discovering more and more in my own health journey that this mind-body piece has really kind of been the big missing thing for a long time. I was trained to think about things mostly from a physiological perspective. I really was never trained in how to investigate how much the mind influences the body, how much it's really running the show when it comes to some of the biggest, most important physiological functions that we have, particularly in the parasympathetic space with digestion, detoxification, and reproduction.
Right.
And once you discover that, it's like, oh man, I just discovered this and I want everyone to know about it. But this also isn't my area of training or expertise. So I'm like, bring everybody in to talk about this because I think it's so important. And it's something that's really missing in a lot of fertility discussions, even ones that are focused on some things that are really important. Like the things that I work with in my practice are super important, making sure that people are nutritionally sufficient, that they're eliminating toxicity from their bodies and from their environments, making sure that they're digesting their food well and absorbing, that they're balancing their immune systems. Like all that stuff's really important. But if we ignore the brain and we ignore the underlying beliefs, or we ignore past traumas or, you know, serious things like that, we can really miss the mark. And we can do all of that work physiologically and still miss out on the opportunity for lasting healing if we don't address the brain and the beliefs and the thoughts.
Absolutely. And I always say, like, first of all, I say it takes a village. That's why I think all these practitioners, and you were just mentioning you had Ayurveda, all the different practitioners have different qualities or gifts that they're able to provide. And so I always say it takes a village, because I'll get to a point that I can help. And then I hit walls, you know? And so then I reach out to other practitioners that do more functional medicine to help. And so I say all roads lead to healing. And there's so many different ways that you can do that. But if you have a belief that's continuously keeping you in that same place, which isn't always the case, but it does happen, then of course you're going to keep going back to the same result.
Yeah, definitely. So I have some logistical questions about the hypnotherapy process that I'm sure there are maybe others that are curious about. How do you find someone to work with? Is it possible to like do this online via Skype, via recording? Like, do you have to be in person with a therapist for this to work?
No, you could do it. You could do it through Zoom. Usually I do Zoom because it's HIPAA compliant, and you could do it online. I have actually created a bunch of audios that I sell online. I've created ones. Now, here's another thing. I don't use the word, like, I could say audio for PCOS, but I don't want to label more. Like, so I use one for ovulation, another one for intimacy, you know, between partners, and another one for sleep, just like different ones that can help with different things or hormone balancing. So I've created audios, which is probably the best bang for your buck because it's a lot cheaper and you can listen to it every night before you go to sleep. And I sell that on my website. But yeah, I mean, if you want something that's more specific and more customized, then I also do Zoom calls if people can't come into my office to do both. And then those Zoom calls, I'll also create an audio that's customized that the person can keep and listen to every night.
That's really cool. Yeah. So how many sessions does somebody typically need to start to see improvement?
I think it really depends. It really depends. I can't say, but 5 is a good amount. 5 is like a good number. Usually in person, that's what I would do. When I do my programs, that's what I include is 5. However, I do give them audios, and I really do believe that the audios can do a huge, tremendous job as well. If you're on top of it and listen to it every single night.
For sure. Yeah. I kind of think about this as like planting a new seed of a thought that you can then kind of nourish and grow on your own once you've kind of gotten past that initial. It's almost like just being able to introduce the possibility of something new and just being able to like crack through the surface of that conscious, logical, high functioning mind and get into that underlying subconscious space, which like we were talking about earlier is actually something measurable. We can see the change in brain activity when we achieve a state like this, a deep relaxation or a hypnosis type of state. We can see the actual
changes in the brain. Even meditation, even just sitting in meditation, even visualizations, like we can really see it. And that's not even going into hypnosis. So yeah, what you just said, I mean, if they listen to the audios every night and just really do their homework, and then on top of it, maybe write a gratitude journal. I like to kind of trick the mind, do a gratitude journal where you do like 3 things a day that you're grateful for like a week, so that your mind is already accepting, hey, I'm acknowledging something that's real. Then after a week, you can start out by saying one thing that you're grateful for, and then the 2 other things can be things that you want to bring into your life that haven't come in yet, because you're already tricking your brain to say, oh, this is like, no, this is real. So you can start doing that every day on top of it. You can write affirmations, writing things. There's some kind of connection between writing. There has been studies on this as well. Like people who write down their goals are 40% like more likely to have them like actualized. And so there have been studies on that. They've been doing this with like, I think a graduating class in Harvard, the ones that wrote their goals and spoke to somebody about it, and people who haven't done anything, it was like a significant difference, especially for the ones that have told somebody about what they want. And of course, I always suggest whether you're sharing or getting support, you always find somebody you can trust that's going to be treating you well, because you don't want to go and talk to somebody who's going to knock you down and kind of be cynical about your dreams and your hopes and say, well, let's be realistic. It drives me crazy. No, none of that. Only with people that are going to help you and nourish that aspect of what you want, your dreams.
Yeah, I think that's really important. The people that we surround ourselves and the support that we seek. There are a lot of relationships that aren't particularly supportive. So, you know, maybe not opening up in those particular ones about some of these really deeply held things, these goals and desires that we have, for sure. So this has all been so interesting to me. I really hope that more people kind of seek this out and explore this potential area, because I think there's a lot of power here for change. So if somebody really wants to work in person locally, how do they find someone to work with where they're located?
For hypnosis?
Yeah.
I guess there's IACT, I believe it is. I'll give you a link where you can actually find practitioners that are certified.
Cool.
And you can find it based on location. So that's what I suggest.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes for this episode. So in case people want that in-office experience, instead of doing something online, they can find somebody. So I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, but just touch on this one more time about like, what is the intersection between what you're doing with acupuncture and what you're doing with hypnotherapy?
Meaning how they work together?
Yeah, how they work together, how they kind of strengthen the results that you get from each one.
So typically when people do acupuncture, especially when they've come in for a little while, because in the beginning, the body, like some people might feel uncomfortable, like just laying there. But over time, I see this consistently all across the board, unless it's like maybe 1 or 2%. Most people will start to get really relaxed to the point where when I get them in with a session, even without hypnosis, they'll have what I call an acunap. It's this weird state of relaxation where their sleep's completely different and they get like visions. And so I take advantage of that state where they have the needles in doing acupuncture. And then in that state, I work on breath work and have them breathing in and out and utilizing that, and then using that as an induction with obviously like certain techniques to try to get them into a deep state of relaxation. So having the acupuncture like needles in while it's happening, I find to be a huge benefit because it automatically puts them in the state that even without hypnosis, they get into this like subconscious, like in between.
Yeah.
So that's where I was like first thought about that. And I was like, that would be a cool thing to combine.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be. Having been to acupuncture before, I could definitely see how it might be easier to get underneath that conscious mind when you're already in a more relaxed state and you're already working like energetically with your body to try to get things to like flow better. So yeah, I could definitely see how those would support one another.
Yeah, it's great.
So tell listeners more about your practice and where they can learn more from you.
So I have a physical practice in Miami Beach where I do everything we just talked about. And I specialize in fertility. I work on many different levels, supplements, diet, lifestyle, mindset, and acupuncture and herbs. And then I also do a virtual online consultations as well. And they can find me at www.thewholesomelotus.com. And I also am starting just my own website, which it provides different avenues as well, which is www.michelleorbitz.com. That's pretty much my hub of everything. And then the Wholesome Lotus is my practice.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. So my last question, which I ask pretty much all of my guests on the podcast, mm-hmm. What are your closing pieces of advice for women who may be on this fertility journey and struggling a little bit?
So my closing advice is that you know better for yourself than you might realize, and do not underestimate your intuition. It is always there. And I can say all across the board, everybody's had an experience where they chose something against their intuition. They're like, "Oh, I knew I should have done this. I knew it." And so I want you to start getting into that, whether it's through meditation or just getting a little quiet time to really get in tune with that, because the fertility journey, you need your intuition more than anything. You're going to be in the face of people giving you all types of opinions, and some of them are not necessarily in line with what is best for you. So your intuition is your compass. It's everything. So that's what my suggestion is. Really start to trust that inner voice.
That is fantastic advice and something we probably don't hear enough from anybody supporting us on this journey. So very powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Michelle. And thank you so very much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed this, and I hope listeners did as well, kind of hearing about yet again, something different. I keep trying to bring different perspectives and different options and modalities onto the podcast so that people can explore as much as they need to on this journey to find out what's going to work best for them. So thank you for bringing this new perspective.
Of course. And thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation today.